We're on to, hey, we have an annual report, fantastic. Page 375, unfunded initiatives. Sir Crossland.
Move as printed, Your Worship.
Councillor Telfer. Further comments? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority. Thank you. So we go over to page 384, I believe. Morfettville DPA. So this has been discussed in committee, and the essential thrust of it is that there were some parking concerns, especially regarding racing parking on race days and how that meshes with what they're proposing to build, and also council's request for open space in the northeast corner, which might then be congruent almost with the Plimpton Sports Field for their use, as well as the use of new residents. So, Councillor Pryor?
Yeah, just a question. Look, I agree with the provision of open space in the northwest corner. Do we think the letter is strong enough in that sense? Because it kind of reads a little bit lightweight for me. And that's on page 407, about three-quarters of the way down. It just says there's an opportunity to provide additional open space within the northeastern corner of the subject land. Maybe if we would say council has a preference for that, maybe a little stronger.
And possibly dropping that first dot point, which kind of softens the blow.
Well, I just think we need to make it clear what we really want out of this, if this is something we want, because there's no point in us not being heard.
How would you like to word that, Councillor Pryor?
We'd like to leave that up to the Mayor's discretion.
What about Council is aware of strong community demand for additional open space?
Yeah, that works for me.
Council is aware of strong community demand. It's very true. I'm sure ward councillors are all over that. There is an opportunity.
We could probably put in some words that we like connectivity with our current sites and things like that.
Well, look, it's in planners' terms, that's already a sledgehammer. All right. What about, okay, let's go the next level up. Council strongly desires additional open space.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, we haven't
Council
really...
Council and the community, thank you.
We haven't really put in too many objections to this or any real guidance, so I think if there's one point that we want to pull out of this, it's...
The community strongly desire additional open space. Mr. Catton, are we taking you with us on this? Okay, good. Nod from the gallery. Councillor Hull.
Look, I just want to be the devil's advocate here. In terms of open space, has anybody had a good look at this in terms of what our opportunities are in the general area in the northern precinct? This is bang on the tram line, what's being proposed. Is that... It may well be, and I'm all ears about this, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a position, but I think it's important to ask the strategic question. It's bang on the tram line, so there is a barrier to the north, a very big barrier to the north. Is there a better place for us to invest the funds, if we do take the funds, somewhere up there where we can value add a piece of land consistent with our motion to actually get better use?
Well, Councillor Hull, as I understand it, what we're saying is the open space you have to provide, we strongly desire it be provided in the northeastern corner. so that rather than being frittered away in the little areas, maybe attractive courtyards around apartment blocks, that it actually be a much more functional community space.
I understand that, but it can also be relayed to us in the form of money, and we can actually...
All right, well, let's ask Mr. Kattner about the cash or space alternative.
Through the Mayor, the requirement with any new sort of large-scale land division greater than 20 allotments is that the developer provide 12.5%. I think in this instance, the Urban Planning Committee had a strong focus on actually trying to improve the open space that's available to the broader community in that locality. Probably the best way to approach that is in the response, in actually explaining the need or the desire for that open space and the purpose of that open space being for formal recreation purposes, and that as far as the people that would be living in that development, they would also be getting of a greater benefit from that open space being provided in that locality.
I'm not sure whether my question was answered then, Mr. Mayor. I'm sorry.
Well, can you... Last chance to ask it more clearly, what you're getting at?
Mr. Kavanagh seems to suggest that we can only take the open space, there's no opportunity to take the money and reinvest that somewhere in the north-west of the city. I'd like that clarified.
Yeah. Through the Mayor, yes, you can take that money. I guess what the Urban Planning Committee is wanting addition above and beyond that 12.5% of the funds that you would ordinarily receive for that amount.
Right. And has the administration had a look to see if there's somewhere up there we can consolidate, and as per the motion that went through at the last council meeting?
Through the Mayor, not at this stage.
But Councillor Hull, it's really not the best governance to tie revenues, specific revenues, to specific expenditures. If you find a good space, bring it to council, let's have a look at expenditure.
But that's what I'm
not. Well, no, you're not, because you're tying it to the revenue of potential open space funding from the development. It's not tied. The two aren't necessarily connected, and they shouldn't be, really.
Well, we've been doing this for years, Mr. Mayor. We're taking the money from that very situation, that scenario, putting it in our fund, and that's how we ended up with Jervois Street.
Order. I'm not going to debate it. Let's get on with moving a motion, and then we can have more debate and questions, and of course you'll have your opportunity, Councillor Hull. We're just checking that what's on the screen. Did we want to delete that first dot point? Councillor Pryor, did you want to delete that first dot point under open space? Because it's sort of contradictory now to what we're saying with our second dot point. It's saying, well, keep it as it is, but actually we want something else.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think it's contradictory. Yeah.
Delete the first dot point under the open space heading. All right, so while that's being written up, Councillor Blescu to move.
If anyone else has anything they wish to contribute, I'm open as the mover. Depends if there's a seconder and if they're open to include that. I think we first thing I'll touch on is the very good point raised by Councillor Hull. We have had some presentations from the people involved with this DPA, and my perception from those discussions is they would like to augment the built form with open space. So I don't feel that there would be an appetite for them to pay a contribution. I would see they'd have more financial return from having the open space there. That's just my reading. However, I know that the community and the sports community especially are looking for other areas in that vicinity to be able to do formal sport. And this is a discussion that they've had with me for several years, and I believe they have spoken to planning staff about this, hence this comment in this letter. It's very important that whoever does this development gets it right. As the report that went to infrastructure said, there's no point having them next to a tram if there's no room. And The tram will only take you in two directions. People want to travel in other places, so parking's going to be at a premium. And if there isn't enough parking in that facility, if that facility is not of a decent quality, you're going to end up with slums and you're going to end up with a bad investment, because there's apartments going up everywhere and they're only as good as the newest apartment. We want this development to be something that people want to go to, be part of and stay, and it needs to be functional, and it also needs to limit the impact in the neighbouring areas. So, and that's another thing that as part of the DPA consultation I've had residents contact me, and I believe they've contacted other people as well, are concerned about the extra traffic. And I was just having a discussion with my fellow councillor, especially along Ferry Avenue and Wattle Terrace. That is already a one-way street when there's people parked with the trams, because you've got cars on both sides. So this development can't exacerbate that. And if there's no room on the tram, or if they get too over-ambitious in the number of dwellings and the limitations on parking, it's going to become a big problem. And the community won't blame the developers, they'll blame us, because we haven't done enough.
Thank you. Anyone speaking against, Councillor Hull, or question?
I've missed it, but the detail of what's proposed in West Torrens in terms of the height, I just quickly, Ken, is there any concerns about anything proposed in terms of height overshadowing what's proposed in the city of Marion? It's north facing, of course.
To Captain Knapp.
Through the Mayor, I would suspect not, given the separation of Anzac Highway, that any shadow cast by buildings would not reach sort of beyond that that road reserve of Anzac Highway. I don't have a precise detail, but it's my suspected outcome, having looked at the heights and the widths of the roads.
No, there's another process happening in West Torrens between the tram line and Anzac Highway. I'd like to know whether the height of what's proposed there has actually got any potential to impact on the City of Marion's infrastructure, well, the buildings. Yeah. Well, not the highway in, no, the, what do they call it, the, well, you've got McDonald's on the corner. Morpheville Junction, yeah.
Through the Mayor, that section in West Torrens is part of the core area. That actually aligns with the core area identified in the City of Marion. So you would have a maximum of 12-storey building in West Torrens, and to the south of that in the City of Marion would be a maximum 12-storey high building. So it would be, I guess, comparing apples with apples. So there would be a shadow impact, but the built form outcome is the same in West Torrens as it would be in City of Marion.
Right, so if we have 12-storey on our side of the tram line, there could be 12-storey on the other, so they would clearly have a shadowing effect. But I guess that's no different to what exists in the City of Adelaide now.
Correct.
Okay, fair enough. Mr Mayor, I just want to very quickly compliment whoever wrote the letter. I think it's picked up all those critical points that we've got concerns about, and I think it's important to pick up on Councillor Valescu's point, that is, if those issues aren't addressed, somehow we actually keep that letter signed by Mayor Hannah in prosperity to prove that we actually did try and sort this.
Thank you. Who wrote the letter, Mr Kentner, do you know?
It was Mr Melhuish.
Melhuish. Well done, Mr Melhuish. Now, is there any other contribution? There wasn't really an opposition, so I'll just put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Okay, on to Hallett Cove, and I'll just read out their motto. We shall fund them on the beaches. We shall fund them on the landing grounds. We shall fund in the fields and in the streets. We shall fund them in the hills. We shall never stop funding them. Sorry. Page 415. Councillor Crossland to move.
Just got a couple of questions first, if I may, Worship.
for staff.
Mr. Grimm is coming up for us.
I'll ask away while he's walking there. Look, this is obviously something we've already approved, we've got the budget for. My main concern is that, and I think it was raised by Councillor Hill with the Oaklands Wetlands, is the first we saw it was when it appeared in the agenda. So we never had informal discussion or chance to really talk to staff about the plan. There's a couple of things in there, Mr. Grimm, I'd just like to confirm. The first is pavements. Have we actually got pavements that actually connect the playground with the event space and all the way to the boat shed? Because we've fallen foul of that before.
Mr. Grimm.
Through the chair, yes, we do. We've got pavements that connect along the foreshore edge as a continuous path up to the boat shed cafe.
And what about for people parking on Heron Way all the way to the footpath down to the side of the boat shed, for want of a better word, or down the road ramp to the car park?
A separate stage of works is the car parking on Heron Way itself, which is in 2018-19, so that's not part of this scope of works. The revised master plan, which is endorsed by Council in November 2016, had a revised outcome which didn't include a path along the ramp road down to the Boatshed Cafe, so that wasn't included in the scoping for that next stage of works.
So would that be included, even though it's in this area, would that be included in the later design of the back car park and the bottom car park?
It can be considered, yes.
Thank you. And the last question is, one of the community concerns was crossing from the east to west side of Heron Way, and the community suggested that there should be a proper pedestrian crossing in the middle there, especially towards the playground, rather than trying to squeeze kids in between parked cars that are all diagonally parked. Is there an opportunity to include one of those? And in the original consultation, we had several nature strips in between the cars. That was discussed, and we definitely don't want so many nature strips, but I just wonder if the implementation of two nature strips would give us the benefit of cars not using that as an extra speedway down that road?
That'll have to be discussed with the traffic engineers with regards to movements of cars through that area and any potential issues that might have, so we can consider.
If it's decided we do need those in there, would there be budget to put two nature strips and a crossing? When I say crossing, I just mean an access point for people to cross the road?
That would still obviously be considered in the detailed design through budgeting and that level of detail.
Thank you.
Councillor Crossland, I really do appreciate your detailed work on this. Of course, it's the sort of thing that can occur between meetings as well, time permitting.
I do appreciate that, but I didn't want to put this motion forward and then find out we haven't got enough funding and we should have mentioned it before.
Fair enough. Now, Councillor Valeska had a question, perhaps? No? Yes?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, we've got stuff here to do with the Milky Way and the Southern Cross and everything. My first question is that only something that we can view from Google Maps? And secondly, where has the community asked for that in the process?
Mr. Grimm?
Through the chair, this process has taken about 4 years in terms of community engagement, and through the community engagement workshops there was a number of sessions where it was discussed in terms of interpretation of the site and connection to the locality. The Milky Way and constellations were discussed and interpreted through the design process. In terms of interpretation on site, there's some public art being integrated into the current amphitheatre which will actually illustrate the Southern Cross. So there'll be a number of ways to experience that interpretation.
So my question was, is this something that the community actually brought up, or is this something that was driven by staff because they thought it would be a good idea?
It was actually discussed with the community through the workshops, so it was actually part of that process.
Sorry, Mr. Grimm.
Clarify.
Can you just listen carefully to the question again?
Thank you. Yeah, so I'll just preface my question. When you when I'm advised that this was discussed with the community, it doesn't identify that a member of the community has said, oh, this is really good, we should do the Southern Cross, or we should do this, we should do that. It's not clear whether a member of the community has suggested the Southern Cross is a good idea, whether a staff member has done the Southern Cross is a good idea, or whether a staff member has teased it out of the community to do it. That's what I'd like to know.
Mr. Grimm?
Through the chair, it was a collaborative effort in the workshops where it was conceived.
So, Mr. Grimm, I can see what Councillor Valescu is getting at, but can it be pinpointed who first came up with the idea?
It was staff in terms of working with the actual community to interpret that.
I haven't been down there for a while to have a look at it, but the roadway that was, of course, originally bituminised, and that's going to be all paved, isn't it, straight across? And is it so that it'll be all more or less the same, not the same level, but continuous surface right through, similar to at the Cove, help me someone, community centre, what do we call it? What's it called? Civic Centre, thank you. So is it a similar roadway arrangement to that, where it's basically flat straight across?
excuse me. Through the chair, no, it's not. It still maintains the current levels of the road pavement, so there'll be a curb and water table. However, it will be paved, so continuing the same materiality across the road to connect the two spaces. It was designed to look at the level change for stormwater management to run down the curb and water table, and also for traffic and pedestrian hierarchy, so it was quite visible.
So it's more of a gutter type of thing rather than a curb. There's no curb actually as such, is there?
It's curb and water, so it's a curb and gutter, yes.
Oh, it is? Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. A resident did raise a query with me on that, but thank you very much. I'll leave that at that.
Time to move a motion. Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. I'll move the motion as printed, Your Worship.
Anything further to add?
No, thank you. Except for to say that we will monitor this and we will look at if there are any other identified savings to be made.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard, wish to add anything?
Commendations to staff and everybody that has had input, because this is a very elaborate asset that we're producing, and it will be greatly valued by the local community and others.
Now, anyone speaking against or amending? Councillor Valescu?
If I can, I am supportive of this. I do want to thank staff for this, and in particular Mr. Grimm, who is an expert in his field. The reason for my question is I think things like this that the community's been waiting for such a long time really need to engage the community as much as possible and reflect what they want. We had great success with the process with Jervois Street, and I want to have the same success and the community embrace the design in that process. So I just wanted to explain that. I want this to succeed, I'd like to thank the work that the local councillors and the staff have done on this.
I suppose that was... Anyway, Councillor Hull.
Mine is a question, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to push my luck. In terms of the thinking that the council's had for a while, we haven't really carried it through, but we are thinking about it. In terms of what's proposed there, and this might surprise you, have we actually invested enough on this site, given it's got a beautiful location, one of the best, well, the only seaside location in our city, and other councils would be jealous of that? Have we actually done enough to actually make it the attraction that it should be? In other words, not a destination play space, but something that will tick all the boxes and be the Jervois Street of the South, if you like. Have we actually achieved that? Is there anything else we can do to actually make this site the best it possibly could be, given its location?
Dr. Grimm? Let your imagination run free, Dr. Grimm. Here's your big chance. I think we're spending, I calculated, we're spending about $3 million over 5 years. If you go back to the War Memorial, to the end of this project, but your question is, you know, about optimum design. I get that. Yeah. Dr. Grimm?
Sure. Through the chair, in terms of the playground and play space and reserve, it does sort of meet the requirements such as at Jervois. With regards to the locality, provides another level of play with the beach, etc. So it is actually achieving the outcomes that a regional facility would.
Is there potential to add to it if demand and expectations require?
Yes, there would be, if there was.
Okay, there's been debate both sides. Any final speakers? Then back to Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, just very quickly, I'd like to thank members for their comments. It is a great design, and as Councillor Valescu said, the community's waited a long time for this new playground there. In response to Councillor Hall, look, we're always looking for opportunities, but the value of that green space for the community can't be understated. In fact, when we did the consultations, that was the biggest component of that foreshore that people wanted to maintain. So we have tried to limit the development over that green space just to protect it. But yeah, there are many other requests that could be considered, but we'll have to wait for the final design to ultimately decide what's needed there.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? It's carried by a majority. Thank you. And thanks, Dr. Grimm. Thank you to everyone concerned. It's going to be a wonderful project. Page 460, we've got Christmas around the corner. City of Marion, Christmas trading hours. Councillor Telfer.
Can we council it like other councils have? And it's
have to worry about national holidays with this one. Councillor Telfer. Councillor Byrom seconded. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, on to, may not be much interest in this one, but page 461, positions for next year. Look, one thing there have been some queries about is what happens if the mayor is, for example, kidnapped by aliens permanently. I've mixed with a lot of different aliens in my time, Councillor Hull. Don't jump to conclusions. But the point is, Section 54 of the Local Government Act, after 1st of January, if the mayor is incapacitated, permanently off the picture, out of the picture, whatever, then council can choose a new mayor for that year. There's not a by-election, and it's not necessarily the deputy mayor. It can be the deputy mayor, but equally it can be any councillor that's chosen for the mayor's role if there's a vacancy in the mayor position after 1st of January. Just putting it out there because people have their considerations about deputy mayor and so on, and I understand there's a betting ring on this somewhere. So let's look first at the deputy mayor position. Look, what I propose to do, we'll suspend standing orders to have a discussion and election if necessary. I was proposing to do the positions in this order. Deputy Mayor, Infrastructure and Strategy Presiding Member, Urban Planning Committee Presiding Member, members of the Finance and Audit Committee, and then we just have a show of hands initially to see who wants to go on what committees, and if we need to have an election, we have one. that's pretty well it. I haven't heard any grumbles about Mr. Christian Reynolds. He's been doing an excellent job, so that'll probably just fit into the motion once we sort out the other positions. So can I have someone move that we suspend standing orders? Councillor Crossland, seconded Councillor Pryor. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. So I now call for expressions of interest for the position of Deputy Mayor up to the election. So I've got 1, 2, 3 hands up. Oh, sorry, they're not necessarily. Councillor Pfeiffer and Councillor Byram, Councillor Gard, are you all nominating yourselves? Yes, thank you. So we have 3 candidates for Deputy Mayor. I'm just going to ask, there have been mistakes in the past. You'd be surprised how many invalid papers. So, Ms. McKenzie, our Governance Manager, can you just give us a reminder on how we vote when there are 3 candidates for 1 position?
So in the case where there is only 1 position, you must vote for at least 1 person. But in the case where there is more than 1 position, so the committees, you must vote for at least the number of positions that are available. So if there's 2 on the Finance and Audit Committee, you must vote for at least 2 people.
Thank you. And who's going to be counting tonight? Who's playing Electoral Commissioner?
Thank you.
Oh. A variety of staff. Fantastic. It is a secret ballot. There should be no caucusing during this process. Or for those that didn't understand that word, scheming. Now, we can't really proceed with the next point because, of course, the outcome of one ballot, as we know in the past, can affect the remaining ballots. Councillors, I draw your attention to page 464, meetings for next year. Let's have a discussion while standing orders are suspended. You've basically got 1 less general council meeting, but bearing in mind that's largely because we've thinned out the September to December period because of the election, of course, which essentially runs over the October, November. We have to, by law, have 1 council meeting each month, so one would expect that in October you'd have it early in the month and at November the end of the month. And it means that we're sort of scrunching 2 meetings a month more into the first part of the year, but on Anzac Day Eve we're excusing ourselves. That's the scheme for general council meetings. And essentially infrastructure, as it has been, review and selection and urban planning having only a fixed 3 meetings, but meeting ad hoc as required as DPAs come up from the Minister, and review and selection meeting as required because it just depends on what comes up. Councillor Pryor, did you want to comment? I beg your pardon. Ms. McKenzie, is there a reason we've got a 4th Tuesday in October? It's in paragraph 1.4.
I think the review's consistently kept a standard meeting as the one that the 4th meeting, so it's up to you as the
kitchen. Kept it as the 4th meeting. Well, do you have on hand what time does, voting... ballot papers go out, etc. It's pretty close to mid-October.
Through the Chair, we obviously don't have any of those details as yet, but it's usually 3 weeks before the ballot closes.
So, sort of late October. So, well, my suggestion, members, would probably be to have the October one earlier in the month rather than in the absolute heat of election fever. Not a good recipe for calm meetings, I would have thought. So while we're working on this other stuff, could staff just look at a staff just look at that 1-4 to make that the second Tuesday of October? Okay, I can announce the result of the ballot. I'm informed by the governance manager, Ms. McKenzie. The winner of the ballot is Councillor Byram. Congratulations, Deputy Mayor Byram. I look forward to working with you. Now, we proceed to presiding member of the Infrastructure Strategy Committee. I ask for expressions of interest. Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Hull, Councillor Westwood. You're all nominating yourselves, I presume. Yes, very well. You just need to put one name down on the paper. Hutchinson, Hull and Westwood. This is for the presiding member, Infrastructure and Strategy. Right. Any other comments? I know we're mixing and matching here a bit, but while standing orders are suspended, any other comments on the meeting schedule in the next item, page 464? If there aren't any other comments, I presume... Ms. McKenzie has a point to raise. Yep.
Sorry. Through the chairs, when members did discuss this point two, we did talk about the Urban Planning Committee, that the meetings would be February, July and December. Under the terms of reference, it only allows meetings for that committee to be held between February and November, so that wasn't possible. So we've put a slight amendment in there.
Well, why don't we change the terms of the committee then? Is that possible, Ms. McKenzie?
Why for infrastructure that we've made that now to December?
You would think so, but the terms of reference are actually different. So the strategy one allows it to December. What we can do, though, is we can call an ad hoc meeting at any time. So these would be the standing meetings. It just means that you'd have to call an ad hoc one potentially after the election.
Well, I must admit, I fundamentally object to terms of reference which are completely arbitrary, which then constrain us from having meetings when we think we need to. The point is not to, you know, throw something, a curly one, into the agenda at the last minute. The point is to change the terms of reference, I would have thought. But anyway, we'll get to that. We must be getting close to a result. The Chair of the Infrastructure and Strategy Committee, presiding member, shall be Councillor Hutchinson. Congratulations. And we now turn to presiding member of the Urban Planning Committee. I ask for expressions of interest. Councillor Crossland, Councillor Telfer, I presume you're both nominating yourselves. Very well, members. You need to put one name down on your paper. Seriously, can we have a show of hands, the Urban Planning Committee meeting? I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, but shall we change the terms of reference? That would mean that there would be a new Urban Planning Committee appointed in November, just after the election, to have its first meeting in December. Otherwise, they'd have one in February. That was the thinking behind the December. You've got a new committee, get together, have a briefing, set your course for the following year rather than wait till February, which would create quite a long gap potentially. So I guess there's a question whether we would need a rescission motion to change the terms of reference. Oh, thank heavens. Well, what if we just... Yeah, we can do that pretty easily.
Just a question, does that have to happen in the committee? that they adopt their terms of reference?
Through the chair, no, they're adopted through council.
Councillor Byrne, comment?
So therefore, section 4.3 of the Urban Planning Committee terms of reference would just be changed from reading between February and November to February and December.
The terms of reference, yes, that's right. That's what we're asking.
That's the only change we need to make.
Correct, yeah. And then we can change that paragraph too, so whatever. How many members are present? Oh, 12, including the mayor. What do we normally... preferences, of course, don't come into it when there's only one position to elect and two candidates. So we have a tie. Governance manager, what do we do when there's a tie? Oh, in the Local Government Act, what do you do? It's drawn by lot, I presume? I wonder what you were doing there. I mean, Local Government Act, anybody got one on them?
Yes.
All right, we'll come back to you on that one. At least both candidates know they're considered equally worthy of the chair position. We'll come back to you on that. When there was a draw. Oh, beg your pardon. Here we go. Equal votes. They'll both be excluded. What? No, sorry. Oh, last dot point. Thanks, Councillor. Council be requested to vote again. Okay. But it does say for one of the two final candidates, and I suspect that's really there for multi-candidate elections, that is, multi-position elections, you know. But there is something in the Local Government Act that says what you do when it's a tie. There is. Lots. I think lots. I mean, I'm not going to have two or three more votes. And I don't want to ask with a show of hands about who wants to change their vote. So, anyone got a coin on them? Well, first of all, councillors, do you agree to do it by lot? All right. One more vote. I'm happy. More papers? Ballot papers? Anybody? We just happen to have those. Yep. It's all right. Mr. Bishop's given me a few ballot papers. I'll put a few in. I'm going to put five in this time. Actually, no, I should put an even number in. Yeah. Yeah, no, you can't phone a friend. Anyone got... Does he know how to Skype? No. Let's forget about that. Can you come up with a project wording, please? And then we'll make it February, July, December.
February and December?
February, July, December, but in the terms of reference, it's just changing November to December.
Yeah.
Here, have a handful. Oh! Drop ballot paper. Oh. Blank. All right. Okay, well, look, while we're here, how about an expression of interest for Finance and Audit Committee, the much coveted insight into the financial affairs of the council? Any interest? Councillor Telfer? Councillor Pfeiffer? No. Well, you can nominate someone else.
Yeah, I am, Your Worship. Look, I know Councillor Kerry has been censured this evening, but I think it may be fair for us to at least re-nominate him for the things that he is on. I haven't spoken to him about what he does or doesn't want to do, but I think in whilst he was very out of order tonight, I think in the interests of fairness, I give him the opportunity to at least get nominated for stuff.
I think the nomination's in order, so we have two nominations. If there are there any more nominations? Last call. Very well. Two nominations for two positions. Councillors Telfer and Kerry are awarded to the much coveted Finance and Audit Committee. We have another tie on the much coveted Urban Planning Committee chair position. At what point do we toss a coin or foot race, game of chess? I don't mind. Hey, it's up to you, councillors. I'm not going to do rock, paper, scissors. There's the dignity of the council to maintain. It's a lot. Oh, no, can't we toss a coin? Nobody's got a coin. Toss my Visa card in the air? No, so I'm not going to toss my bus ticket.
I can put a piece of paper in
there. All right. Hang on. Oh, okay. What else can we do? Long. Okay. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get the nominations before I throw the coin, Councillor Westwood. But, yeah, good point. I always wondered why they loved me in the two-up games. But anyway, who would like to nominate? Ladies first. Councillor Telfer's Telfer and Tails. I'll remember that. All right, it's going in the middle of the ring. Okay, place your... Well, can somebody have a look? Tails it is. Councillor Telfer, well done. Democracy in action. We've done the presiding positions. Now we're up to membership of committees. And remember, it amazingly, with the Mayor's scheme of things, it amazingly works out that there are vacant positions for, or there's one vacant position on one of the committees for each councillor. So, just remind me, it's 6, 3 and 3 among the 12 of you. That's right, Ms. McKenzie?
5, 3, 4.
So, 5, 3, 4?
5, 4
for urban planning, 3 for review and selection. Okay, so the order I was going to do it in, we've done finance and audit, right. Review and selection, the smaller committee. So I'm after 3 councillors. Sorry? Well, no, we're not going by that rule, so there's no set position for deputy mayor. So it's whichever one you've got, open choice, same as everyone else. So just asking for a show of hands for review and selection. I've got 4, but let's see how this sorts out. No, not yet. Four-sided coin. Let's have a look at, what did I say next? Urban planning. So we're after 4. How many have we got? We've got 1. Well, sorry. It's 4 in addition. No, 3 in addition to the... Urban planning.
Urban planning, it's 4 in total, so excluding...
But you're excluding the mayor, are you?
Sorry.
Sorry, through the chair, it's four members, but noting that you've already appointed the presiding member.
There's three more.
So there's three more to appoint.
Yeah. So the Mayor chairs review and selection. Councillor Telfer's chairing urban planning. There are three more spots on urban planning. The Mayor is a member ex officio.
Yes.
Right. Total of five, in fact. Yeah, including those. All right. No, it's... You've got four elected members, sorry, three elected member positions, and four have nominated at this point. So urban planning, we've got, we're after three plus the mayor, and so infrastructure and must be six plus the mayor and the independent. No? Five plus the mayor. Has someone been bludging all this time? Can somebody just tell me how many members on each committee? I'm sorry, how many members apart from the mayor and the presiding officer and the independent? Urban planning is somebody?
So, through the chair, I'll read through the memberships of each committee. The urban planning committee is the mayor plus four other elected members.
Right. So it's three we're after. And we've got
infrastructure.
None.
Infrastructure and strategy is the mayor plus five elected members and one independent.
Right, so after five.
And then the review and selection is the mayor and three other elected members.
Right, and so we're after three. Five, three and three. Do you mean to say...
So each of the committees, with the exclusion of the review and selection committee, the chair is the mayor. The other two, the presiding members are elected, are part of the elected member group. That's
yes.
Correct.
Because you've got the, that's right, you've got the chair. It's four vacancies other than the mayor, the chair and the independent. Three, three and four, and we've got two chairs. Yep. So we've got four into three on the review and selection. We've got none out of three on urban planning. Any more for urban planning? You could walk into this one. Okay. Infrastructure and strategy, I presume we've got six people. We've got now Tim Gard, Councillor Gard, you're nominating for infrastructure and strategy and also review and selection. And, well, may I ask your preference? Well, could I suggest that you don't nominate for review and selection? But I suppose unless you miss out in the ballot for infrastructure and strategy. Yes, okay, so I get the picture. So can we have hands up again for infrastructure and strategy? So it's got, yeah, and Councillor Kerry will include in that. So, okay, let's have a ballot there. Can we, it'd be good if we could actually put the names up on the board almost. We've got a white page we could... yes, Councillor. Yes, thank you. Yeah, well, Councillor Valescu, put your hands up for infrastructure and strategy while I figure this out. We don't actually have that much more to do. Corporate reports are easy. Okay, so you have staff got those down? Okay, so we just have one extra. While we're at it, Councillor Valescu has moved a procedural motion. Could I suggest, rather than a half hour, that the councillor suggest completion of corporate reports plus code of conduct matters? Which is probably...
There is a motion from last meeting that didn't get dealt with. I'd at least like the courtesy for that one to be finalised. I'm happy to wait on mine, even though I think it is time sensitive.
Okay. By the way, that motion that was... Oh, I see. Because it wasn't adjourned, that's why it's sitting in its normal place, yeah, about Grand Central Avenue. All right. So, what if we... And I'm suggesting it's up to you, Councillor Vlescu, what you want to do, but corporate reports, the Grand Central Avenue and Code of Conduct matters.
I am concerned that the billboard signage one is, even though we're just raising a concern, it could be entirely...
Urgency.
Yeah, because they'll start...
Well, that's everything then, isn't it? So she'll just finish the agenda. Hope everyone is. So extend the meeting until the business is completed. Is that the motion? Councillor Vlescu, second Councillor Crossland, all those in favour? All those against? That is carried by a majority. Okay. Where were we? We're having a vote on infrastructure and strategy. So for your convenience, councillors, you have six names up on the board and you are selecting five. You're selecting four. We have a chair and we have a mayor and we have a... Mr. Christian. And now this is preferential.
Yes.
And you can... Well, you can vote for five or six. It doesn't really matter. I keep saying that, don't I? You can vote for six, or you can vote for four or five. That's right, isn't it, Ms. McKenzie? I think I finally got it.
You need to vote for the number of positions.
Need to vote for at least four. All right. Quote is five. Four, five, or six is acceptable. Now we've got practically a legislative council vote. About the same calibre too, I think. And that is a compliment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. We can't really do much until we get leftovers, so to speak. I mean the quotient for the count didn't come out well. Can I ask staff if they have the motion prepared for the meeting times? So can we just have that up on the screen? We've got the second Tuesday of October, correct? And thank you. And urban planning, we've got February, July, December, amends the terms, just that word amends, slightly amended to be, to enable the committee to meet in December, that's fair enough. So I resume standing orders. Just before I do, I'm hearing a question. Councillor Byrum.
Just on those timings again for those Tuesdays, we moved October to be the second Tuesday of the month. Is there a reason why September is still the 4th, or could we pull that forward to the 2nd? I understand why November's the 4th, but it's a busy time for everybody. Is there any reason why September couldn't also be the 2nd Tuesday?
Oh, it could be. People comfortable? I don't care. 2nd? So, Ms. Thwaites, could you change September, into the 2nd Tuesday category? And then November, yeah. So November's the exception when we want the 4th. Okay, I resume standing orders, as is my prerogative. If somebody would like to move the... and I seek leave of the meeting to now deal with the time and place of council meetings for next year. Is leave granted? Leave is granted. I'm looking for someone to move. Councillor Pfeiffer, seconded. Councillor Byram. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Quality assurance in operational areas, page 469. We're really noting the report. All seems good. Nice, concise report. Anyone to move? Councillor Gard, do you wish to speak? I know you have a passion for quality assurance.
Yes, very briefly, this was a motion that I instigated back in June, and I am satisfied that the right moves are being made. I think over a period of time what we need to see is agreed standards so that the quality assurance can be put into operation over periods of time. So that would be my only comment, but I'm very pleased that it has come in on time, as promised, from operations.
Seconded. Councillor Pryor. All right, we're ready to vote. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. You want to take that down? Quality assurance, Guard and Pryor, unanimous. I think the finance report and work health and safety performance report could be moved on block. Councillor Telfer to move. Is that seconded? Of course, you have the opportunity to ask Councillor Pfeiffer. And you have a question, Councillor Hull.
Mr Mayor, as predicted by the CEO, there has been a trend upward. Just very briefly, just an indication from the CEO that we'll be the organisation will be trying to actually turn that around and try and manage a situation that we'd like to be kept under control.
Mr Scull.
We indicated that you were anticipating that there would be an elevation in some claims.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask the reasonable question, are we going to try and manage that?
Through the Chair, yes, of course. We've got a real focus on that and we'll be pushing hard for it.
And, in fact, we've done so well in the workers' injury area that we're up for an award. Mr Scull, tell us about it.
Thank you, Your Worship. We are up for an award for the lost time injury frequency rate achievement that we've got, 68% reduction over the last 18 months is quite extraordinary, so that's going to be presented. You know, there are a number of them, but we're actually bringing people back to work with a frequency a lot better than this happened before. So that's the award nomination to which the Mayor refers. It'll be awarded at the November LGA dinner.
Safest council in South Australia. I won't be there, but it's still a bloody good award. Thank you. We seem to have a result. So preferences have been allocated. We've had
preferences have been allocated.
Ms McKenzie will announce the committee members.
So the committee members are Tim Pfeiffer, Nathan Pryor, Tim Gard and Bruce Hull.
Again.
Tim Pfeiffer, Nathan Pryor, Tim Gard and Bruce Hull.
Thank you. Now, Tim Gard, Councillor Gard, having been elected on the infrastructure and strategy, I presume your nomination for review and selection is withdrawn. Thank you, Councillor Gard. We now only have three nominations for the Review and Selection Committee. They are Councillor Byram, Councillor Valescu and Councillor Appleby. You can, Councillor, so we have Councillor Crossland. So we have four, and we definitely have a ballot, unless anyone else is transferring. So, back to the ballot papers, folks. We're after three names, and we have four candidates. Once again, they are Councillor Byram, Councillor Valescu, Councillor Appleby, Councillor Crossland. Sorry, technically I need a motion to suspend standing orders again. Councillor Hutchinson, Councillor Westwood, all those in favour, raise your hands to suspend standing orders again. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. So that just gets us back into the ballot groove. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, that's fine. Actually, I can think of a few troubled souls coming back from the past. Can you close it down? Control-Alt-Delete. Actually, I will tell you a story. Councillor Westwood, I'll tell you a story, which is... in fact, educational for everyone. About 8:10 on Monday morning, I had a phone call. Hello, I'm Rodney from Beyond Bank Fraud Branch, and your account's just been hacked. About 3 o'clock this morning, 52 cents was taken out. And I'm thinking, OK, he's about to ask me for information and, you know, the old story. Anyway, he goes on to tell me, well, you took some cash out yesterday. I've got the screen in front of me. You went to such and such restaurant a few days ago. So I've got all of that. What we're doing, we're blocking the transfer. We've got a whole lot of parameters that identify these sort of transactions. It's come from somewhere in the US. So that's blocked. Your card is deactivated as of now. You won't be able to use it. You can still go into a branch if you want cash over the counter with ID. And I said, even though he hadn't asked for details, he was telling me things about myself. I said, look, who can I phone back to get verification? He said, look, phone the call centre as soon as they answer. They will have had an email from me. They'll confirm this is the case, and you'll be getting a new card in about a week. And it was a true story. So they're out there, and I was just very, very lucky that it hadn't cleaned out the account. Yeah, I mean, it took the bulk of my dollar. I was most upset. We have a result. Ms. McKenzie.
So the councillors that have been nominated are Appleby, Byram and Crossland.
Right. So, saving the best till last, we have on the Urban Planning Committee councillors Valescu, Westwood and Kerry. I think that's right. So, we can now move, I resume standing orders, because that's all of our ballots. Is there anything else we can vote for? No, I think probably we'll just leave it at that. Therefore, I'm just checking clerically now whether, in fact, we're able to record a motion on the computer. Otherwise, we'll proceed by hand. Ms. McKenzie has handwritten notes, and I trust her. I can't read it, but I trust what she's doing. Let's go back to the right page, page 462. So we've got all of the names filled in on that page. I'm after someone to move accordingly. Oh, I think, isn't there an exemption? Well, everyone who's been elected to a committee must leave the room. All councillors are taken to have declared the positions to which they've been elected, particularly the paid positions.
Yes, so through the chair, any member that is going to receive an additional remuneration from their position will have a conflict, yes.
And it will be...
do we do it in parts?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven. We have. We still have a quorum. Gee, I don't get paid any extra, do I?
No, you don't.
All right, I have to stay here. So we're after someone to move accordingly. Councillor Westwood, seconded Councillor Gard. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. So now we can go on to... we can't stop just because we don't have a computer. No, we're not finished the meet. Sorry, we finished that. Yes, yes, bring it back. Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Very hospitable. Councillors, we're up to matters raised by members now. Motions with notice, page 490. Now, somebody has put the transcript of the Grand Central Avenue motion on my desk. Can anyone explain why, Councillor Hull? I don't ever want to get you into trouble, Councillor. I want to bring you to salvation. I'll just have a word with the Chief Executive. All I want to deal with is the motion before the chair, and Councillor Hutchinson has the call. The additional information that's been provided by staff in between meetings is in relation to the capital works schedule, and I have in front of me the coastal ward capital works. There is one other item of slightly more than the value sought by Councillor Crossland, River Parade in Hallett Cove. $50,000 has been allocated in the current year, so There being no currently identified savings in that program, it would be possible to do one of two things. Either River Parade could be pushed forward into the next financial year, or Grand Central Avenue could be pushed forward into the next financial year. The call is with
Councillor... Point of order?
There's a point of order.
Yeah, that's not correct, Your Worship. In fact, there's three or four projects that haven't even gone to public consultation out of the same funds, which I've got in front of me.
So, Councillor, you're debating rather than a point of order. I mean, I've got that information from Mr. Allen today.
So have I, but you said that the only project that was left to be funded out of that pot of money was the River Parade, which is not true.
No, well, that's the only one that hasn't been commenced. Would you agree?
No, I've got a list of three or four more that haven't been commenced and haven't gone to public consultation.
Well, we can go through them. This is going to be awfully painful, but it would be... Is Mr. Lyons still here? I don't know if he can help. Can't help. So, looking at the... Let's just go back a step. Councillor Hutchinson moved an amendment at the end of the last meeting, and his intent was to say if there's going to be money spent in Coastal Ward on a footpath, then something in Coastal Ward has to give. That was essentially the intention. The amendment itself was out of order, but there are other ways of achieving the same end, and I've got this information to assist in formulating a suitable amendment. Perhaps it's before I get into a factual tangle with Councillor Crossland. Councillor Hutchinson, what's your intention, either broadly or specifically?
Thank you, Your Worship. I'd like to proceed and test the amendment, which
well,
I have prepared.
You have a prepared amendment?
I do.
Yes, well, let's...
I'll read it out and then I'll...
Let's proceed with that, and I may come back to Councillor Crossland if we need to clarify.
Yeah, look, so my amendment is that Council reprioritise Grand Central Avenue footpath ahead of River Avenue Parade... River Parade, I should say, Hallett Cove in the current financial year. That's point one. And point two is that River Parade, Hallett Cove footpath be included in the 18-19 financial year schedule of works. I think that was the general thrust of where we saw emerging priorities going in the council. We've seen it in previous years and previous councils even, where it's emerged that there's a specific need in a suburb or ward even, where we want to reprioritise things to get them onto the radar because they are needed, perhaps for events or whatnot, or timing of other works. So in taking that spirit of where we've managed these surprise pieces of work in the past, I'm taking a leaf out of that book and putting that forward. And I'm just testing it at this point, so I'll bring that up for Ms. Thwaites. Have you got that? So I'll read it again. That Council reprioritise Grand Central Avenue footpath ahead of River Parade, Hallett Cove in the current financial year. It's point one. And point two, River Parade, Hallett Cove be included in the 18-19 financial year schedule of works.
Now, Ms. McKenzie's brought to my attention that due to the peculiarities of our meeting regulations, we're going to have to do all of this again. So on the last occasion, we had some of the debate. It was moved by Councillor Crossland. It was seconded by Councillor Gard. Because we didn't get to a resolution, we do it again. So it's we'll take, and Councillor Hutchinson will have the opportunity to move his amendment again. So, Councillor Crossland, it's over to you. Before you start, because I want to give you a good chance to explain this, let's go through, I mean, and I have to say, this is the problem with councillors bringing individual footpath projects to council. We could all do it, but anyway, let's keep going. Coastal Ward, Argyle Street was in the budget, but residents didn't want it to proceed. Councillor Crossland, do you agree?
No, I'm not aware of that. That information hasn't come to any of the ward councillors.
Right. Councillor Gard, you can't add anything to that? All right.
No, that's just another can of worms that we're not aware of.
Okay, next can of worms, River Parade. The consultation has been done, but there's been no physical work started. 50,000 budgeted, do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. The residents are aware of it and they're expecting that work to be carried out soon.
All right. Young Street is in Shiloh Park, so that's Sun Hills. Brooklyn Laneway, Hallett Cove. Oh, that's Southern Hills as well. Yep, okay. Construction started on that. It's confusing because in the capital works budget of the team, they sometimes have the wrong suburbs or wrong ward for the street. So, Mr. Skull, you'll look into that. Jervois Terrace, $20,000, Merino, yet to start. Do you agree with that, Councillor Crossland?
We've not been consulted on that one. I don't know what position that's in.
Right. So, I mean, I suppose what, in line with Councillor Hutchinson's amendment, if the intention is to suggest to you that if Grand Central is put forward, that something else in Coastal be pushed back, then River Parade would seem to be the obvious choice. Now, that's all I'm going to say, because you have the chance now to move the motion and address all of those points about why Grand Central should come first and why the amendment shouldn't be put forward.
Thank you. Looks like we're starting from scratch. So this isn't my application from this footpath budget. I think that's clouding the issue. This is part of the development of the foreshore, and the amphitheatre and the footpath connects the amphitheatre all the way along Grand Central Reserve, and we're asking that it should connect to the footpath to the railway, which again is up Grand Central Reserve. At the moment, there's half a footpath next to the reserve, and residents have picked up on it's a very strange design that we're going to make people zigzag across the road when they come and go from events. So although it is a footpath, it's a footpath to connect with what we're already doing in the project, and it's not really part of this single footpath funding that we're looking at today. I've never heard of, if you get something in your ward, you have to cancel something else out before. I'm happy to take that forward in future meetings. It's a brand new concept on me, and I'm happy for that to be the new policy of this council, that every time you get something new, you lose something. Happy to move that way if that's what Councillor Hutchinson wants to do. But at the very end of the day, this is just about finishing off a project properly, so it looks like we've used some common sense and not zigzagging pedestrians and children across a busy, hilly road twice just because we're not connecting the footpath. So that's really what we're talking about. And it doesn't need too much more explanation, I don't think, than that. We have funding in the budget. I apologise that the calculations by staff didn't include the pavement. We thought it would when we tackled this at a ward briefing, and it was only recently when it still went out to the public that we realised it still wasn't going to get funded. As far as River Parade is concerned, I wouldn't like to see that one stopped. I would rather you voted against this motion rather than River Parade, because we've already told the people there. They've been consulted, they've all given their feedback, they've been told it's going to happen in the next 2 months. I think that would make us look even more confused and silly to start messing around there. I'd rather wait for the public to show their concerns when Grand Central Reserve is finished, and I'll just bring all the concerns back to Council and we can deal with it then.
Is that seconded? Councillor Gard? No. Councillor Filescu?
I'd like to second this, because what this has identified, like some of our other projects, is that there's an extra element of funding required. And there's sometimes these things come up to make a project work, and being a relatively small amount, and if we take it in the context of the 3.276 we've transferred into the asset sustainability earlier on this evening, I think we should proceed with it. I think we really need to look at the projects that we're doing and the extra money that may be required throughout the city. And I think once we start to hold back on the extras that are required for something to succeed, nothing will succeed. So I understand people wanting to be prudent and going through process, but this is part of something that is required. We found out later. We had something similar when we built the library. We needed to do extra work with drainage, and luckily we got a bit of information and we were able to minimise the impact on the budget and other projects. So I agree, it is a bit of a concerning precedent to actually sort of take something out of that pool. And I'm doing this because I think it's needed for this project, and I think some other things we all need extra money, and I think we all need to be on board on for that. So it's about getting things done for the whole city. This has been identified and others will be identified as well.
Anyone speaking against the motion or amending? Councillor Hull.
If that's all right, I run the gauntlet of getting in strife again, but anyway.
Go ahead.
In terms of the footpath that the residents didn't want, and this does happen around the city, what was the value of that?
Sorry, who's the question to?
To you. In terms of, because you've got the information, in terms of the footpath that the people didn't want, they declined the footpath, and they have their reasons for that, how much did that amount to?
$15,000,
okay. So it's getting close to half of what's proposed. Could I ask the other question is that, as I remember, this footpath does strangely stop halfway up the hill to a footpath coming laterally across the reserve. Would it be possible to actually use that $15,000 to complete that section so it won't look quite so odd? And then in next year's budget, I'd be happy to put my hand up for the remainder to go up to the railway line. Is that a possible solution to this?
There are some identified savings, not sufficient for the whole job. Presumably that would be possible, Councillor Hull, but probably not the most efficient way of doing it if the intention is to complete the footpath.
The other question I have, Mr. Mayor...
I'll just ask Mr. Skull to comment.
Thank you, Chair. I would imagine that the outside guys would prefer to set up and do it once rather than come back a second time. So there would be inefficiencies in doing that.
Okay, Councillor Hull, keep going.
Well, Councillor Valescu alluded to discussions we had earlier tonight about the surplus cash that we seem to have and just transferred into a fund. Is that a reasonable proposal or suggestion that Councillor Valescu refers to?
Oh, Mr. Skull?
In other words, the circumstances from last meeting to this meeting have changed, given that we've actually got that money and we put it into a fund tonight that wasn't available at the last meeting.
Sorry, what money are you talking about, Councillor Hull?
Well, Councillor Valescu seems to think that we've transferred money into a fund tonight.
What fund are you talking about? Don't worry about what Councillor Valescu said.
Well, I'd like that clarified. I hear what Councillor Valescu says.
Mr. Mifsud can help you with that. Thanks.
There we go. Through the Chair, yes, when you adopted the first budget review that had the audited savings result for the last financial year, which was $3.2 million cash, which has gone into your asset sustainability reserve. And just to go further on that, in regards to how the Asset Sustainability Reserve can be used, ultimately it's at the discretion of Council. It's quite broad now.
Anything more, Councillor, with your contribution, Councillor Hull?
Well, in terms of us having that pot of gold that we've transferred, would you expect that we actually, going forward, show a bit of discipline with that rather than just keep having motions appear in the agenda to actually keep chipping into it?
Well, Councillor Hull, the last General Council meeting had no less than four motions, both from elected members and staff, which disrupted the normal funding process. We had this problem long ago, a year or two ago, and I suggested wording for motions whereby, unless it was urgent or a small amount, it would go to an unfunded items discussion, and then we would prioritise from that and bring things back to Council for approval or otherwise. There were certainly arguments in favour of each of those four expenditure items at the last General Council meeting, but if that's the trend, then we will descend into chaos over the next 12 months as each person brings up their favourite thing in their ward. So, discipline, I completely agree with you, Councillor Hull. Somehow we have to maintain that. I'm not saying that Councillor Crossland's wrong, but I think you raise a good point, Councillor Hull.
Well, Mr Mayor, just my last question on this, and things have changed since the last meeting of this one, I'm sure you agree. We've identified this $15,000 that would reasonably be available to that ward given the residents didn't want one. So now we're down to a situation where, it's $22,000 in real terms we're looking for, and, given all that, and I'm not for 1 minute trying to dig myself out of a situation because I took a certain position at the last meeting. That's not the case at all. I'm willing to look at new information, and we have new information, and that will influence the way I vote.
Councillor Byrom.
Thank you, Worship. There is a couple of aspects that haven't come out in discussion, and I do have a question for staff regarding this, and I'm not sure if the staff who are here can answer. But the first thing is that with the works that are happening at Grand Central Avenue and all the works there at the moment, that area is already dug up. If we delay putting a footpath in until the following financial year, and I'm thinking about economy with monies here, because it's all dug up and then we have to infill it to just put it back to a grassed area, and then next year we have to dig it up to put a footpath in, we're actually spending more money doing it that way than if, while it's dug up now, we actually put the footpath in. So there is an economy in doing it now, is my understanding. That's the first question.
Through the Chair, absolutely. That was the point before, and also more disruption to the residents rather than doing it once for coming back.
Yeah, I was more looking at the finance side on that. And now the other one, River Parade, that is linked with the redoing of the coastal walk, is my understanding. So I'm wondering if we were to look at delaying that, how that is going to affect all of that we've been looking at with that coastal walk. So I'm just wondering, with the talk of looking at those two areas, they were aspects that people weren't considering, and I just wanted some answers on those.
Who's going to answer that?
Through your worship, I can't answer that one. I'm not sure what that would be.
Through the Chair, I can say yes, you're right, Councillor Byrom, that there is parts of River Walk that are associated with the coastal walking trail. I'm not in a position to comment about the delay, but yes, there is part of that.
Finished, Councillor Byrom. Councillor Hutchinson? No, nothing. Councillor Gard?
I'm not sure whether it's right for me to speak for the motion after there's been no one actually speaking against the motion per se, because Councillor Hull asked a question rather than speaking against the motion, I think. But may I speak for the motion? Just a couple of quick points.
A couple of quick points. I'm sort of giving up at this stage, so yeah, go for it.
Good. I wanted to just make the point that something that hasn't been mentioned so far is that there was considerable moderation of the design of the overall Hallett Cove foreshore concept, which would have wound back the cost quite dramatically. So there's a certain amount of offset and more there, I would think. The other thing is that there wouldn't be very many thoroughfares of the nature of Grand Central Avenue in the whole of the city of Marion that would have one footpath only on any one part of it. So it's rather exceptional in that way, but the danger of making people of all, in all situations, children, people on transportables, people with prams, crossing that road, which is a huge downhill gradient, twice in order to get to a given point, is an insanity as far as I'm concerned. And $38,000, well, it's something like 1% of the $3.2 million cash from last year that that went to the Asset Sustainable Reserve. So, to me, the mathematics is pretty simple. And having said that, the Coastal Walk project is something that we've just put off and put off and put off, and there is more than reasonable expectation on the part of residents that that now proceed, particularly since we've given the indication that it will. So to me, it's not big bickies that we're talking about. These are commonsensical things. There are provisions made for unfunded items. We need to use judgment. I don't believe that any of us around this table seek ridiculous and rampant add-ons of this nature. This is something that is associated with a very big project, and it's also associated with a very big crowd that's going to be present in March next year. So I wouldn't like to see anything go wrong for the sake of $38,000. I certainly wouldn't want to be explaining, as a local ward councillor, why we didn't spend $38,000 for the safety of thousands of people.
Thank you. Anybody else? Councillor Hutchinson.
Thank you, Your Worship. No, it's good that we had this discussion, I think, members, because there's going to be times when we need to be reasonable about projects, and when there's funding available and when we're undertaking works, that we need to proceed with a full project. So I'm going to support Councillor Crossland. I think Councillor Crossland took my tone and indications of where we wanted to go with it the wrong way, so hopefully he recognises that, and we look forward to his support in future projects in the near future.
It's nice to end the debate on a happy note. Do you need to say anything further, Councillor Crossland?
I'd just like to apologise to the Council for not bringing this forward earlier. We did raise it in June. Maybe in hindsight we should have gone for the funding, even though staff were hoping that we could find the budget, and then it would have saved all this hassle.
Put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Billboard signage, Councillor Vlescu, page 491.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm very disappointed with the way that DIPTI has brought this to our attention. Initially they asked for input, and then they basically said, oh, hold on, we'll just check if we need to ask, and now they don't need to ask and they'll go ahead. I think it sets a dangerous precedent where our suburbs turn into advertising spaces. The Department of Planning, Transport and Infrastructure are not the Department of Advertising. What is also concerning is an indication of the sort of advertisements in the planning documents, which I don't believe are public but could be accessible if people ask DIPTI. There was one advertisement for Corona, places where you'd rather be, right in front of the bus depot. Now, knowing a little bit of some of the houses in that area, I think after people do consume alcohol, there's probably family members that would rather be in other places. I don't think glamorisation of alcohol should be something they should be doing in all our open spaces. I'm all for responsible drinking, but I think that just selling off space to the highest bidder is not in line with our community values. I'm also concerned that our spaces are, public spaces are just turning into an opportunity to sell stuff to us. people want value different things in our community, and I hope we can pass that on to advertisement, our letter to Dip Tide. And I think this isn't just about this area and this council. I think this indicates where Dip Tide want to go. And the next government, be it, you know, red, blue, or a mixture with some orange in there, they need to be firm with Dip Tide that this isn't what our suburbs are for. Also, these are distracting. Huge billboards, some as long as 8 metres, over 3 metres in height, along the 100-kilometre zone of the expressway. And it's ironic that they advertise a new Mercedes, because if you're not paying attention, you will need a new car. So, and you know, I'm not making light of people getting hurt or worse, but it's totally inappropriate. So I hope that they revise this decision and find more appropriate places to advertise if they need to at all.
Councillor Hull, are you seconding?
Mr Mayor, as you know, I raised this only last night at the Oaklands Estates Residents Association just to give them heads up about it. I don't think the community are totally aware of what's proposed and the significance of it. Councillor Vleska has described it quite well. The LED side of it takes it to another level, and we don't want Marion turning into Las Vegas. We don't want Adelaide turning into Las Vegas. And just for the mighty dollar, and they did themselves no favours in Corona being depicted in their material they sent to us. I actually tweeted that to the Motor Accident Commission and never got a reply, of course, but you know, it's not consistent with the objectives of MAC, and it's I don't think it's consistent with the objectives of our community.
This will be very interesting when we get the first fatality due to distraction of LED lighting, probably not far away. Anyone speaking against the motion? No? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour? It's carried unanimously. Thank you. Louise Court Rescission Motion, page 493. If passed, has to be with an absolute majority of 7, doesn't it? Is it just normal motion? I thought it was a rescission motion. Anyway, page 493, Councillor Hull to move.
Mr Mayor, it is a rescission motion, as I understand it.
Yeah, well, I'm just suggesting that to Ms McKenzie.
Yeah. Mr Mayor, this process that we embarked on with the asset maximisation and consolidation with open space has been a learning curve for not only elected members but for staff alike, because what happened was that we set out to dispose of what is essentially one building block, and that was the same for the other reserve that we dealt with tonight, only to have our strategic thinking out of kilter. We hadn't done two things. We hadn't dealt with the motion that went to the council last, where we decided to request the staff to scope and look for opportunities to value out open space. That hadn't been dealt with at the time. The other thing is that we hadn't really properly sat down with our templates about where the open space was needed the most. And the irony is that Louise Avenue is in an area that has a significant deficit of open space, once we put that template, that lens over the map. And why would you dispose of a piece of land that is the only piece of land within Cooey where you can actually use the fund to actually value add it and make it a usable piece of open space? However, we don't know that for sure, and the motion actually is talking about a report coming back to advise us to have all the information as to whether that is a viable proposal or not for Louise. The irony is that Louise Avenue Reserve had very little feedback. It had some feedback. I think there was one deputation over it some time ago. But that shouldn't change our thinking, because Councillor Pryor and I, along with the staff, sat down and thought, maybe this is not a good idea, without even any community input. because finally some lenses were put over it in a strategic way, and really it's not a good idea at this point, at least, to sell Louise Avenue Reserve. So that's what this is all about, to get more information, to basically cool off on this and to better assess the open space needs in the area and the possibility of valuating this piece of council asset.
Seconded, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, look, I mean, just to be brief because it's late, there is a lack of open space in this area according to our recent mapping, so it really does make no sense to sell this block without another plan. So we need another plan, in short.
Is there anyone speaking? Question, Councillor Byram?
Question, just in there where it says we have a contract with an agent, is there a contract in existence on the land? Has it got to that stage?
Well, Ms Harvey, no?
Through the chair, no, I don't believe there is a contract for the land at this stage.
We just engaged an agent
to start to look at how we'd move to sell the piece of land.
And what would be the cost if we desist at this point of the agent? So Ms Cladderham is saying that about $1,000 down the drain for Louise Reserve and more for Luke Court.
Question again?
Councillor Byram.
So this motion we're looking at here is only looking at Louise, not Luke Court?
Correct.
Which we're prepared to still go ahead with Luke Court?
Well, presumably it would be stalled pending the briefing discussion that was referred to in Councillor Crossland's earlier motion. But yes, Luke Court's a separate matter. We have to just focus on Louise.
Sorry, another question. So does that mean we need a motion to be able to still proceed with Luke Court? Can we? Yeah, but that's just vacant land. But if under the other basis of the other motion...
Well, as I understand it, Luke Court was progressing. Negotiations were taking place with a potential purchaser. But the motion tonight would put that on ice, because that would be considered progressing with the asset optimisation program. So where that leaves the cost of the person engaged there, I don't know. But the purchaser will just have to cool off for a while.
Sorry.
Order.
I've just got a question.
Is Councillor Byram, you happy with that?
Well, I was just wondering, can we still move a motion to move forward with Luke Court then?
No, because you now have a motion blocking all progress with asset optimisation. So we don't need that money in the bank, evidently. Councillor Valescu?
Well, I guess my question is, we were not given this information in deciding to stop something that has Luke Court. So I would say that the decision was made erroneously, and I don't even know if it was actually... And I'm not saying that as far as the choice, I'm saying about the process. We should have, shouldn't we have had the knowledge that we're in discussion with a vendor, a potential purchaser, in regards to one of those items before it proceeded to...
Councillor, that's the problem. When councillors bring motions to council without notice to anyone, staff are taken unawares, the mayor wasn't consulted, I could have added useful information, but when it happens quickly like that, then there are often, not always, but often unforeseen consequences. We've made the decision, we'll live with it. We're talking about Louise Reserve now, not Luke Court. So have a think about that after the meeting. We're not dealing with Luke Court now. Councillor Crossland, and it better be about Louise Reserve, please.
Do we need this motion? Because it's already not going to go ahead, even though the motion was put.
The motion that's put forward is stronger and quite specific about additional information. So it's distinct from the suspension of progress, which was in the Crossland motion. Anyone for any more? Councillor Hull, would you like to close the debate?
I need to suggest that we do separate Luke Court from this one. If I can very quickly say, it would have been useful to know the detail about all of the things before we made a decision, and Councillor Valescu's got a point. And this is another example of the lack of leadership and guidance sometimes from the administration about this process. I must admit that Councillor Pryor and myself are a little bit embarrassed about where we've ended up with this, but I think the administration and the elected members alike need to shoulder that responsibility.
Well, I'm glad you included elected members in that, Councillor, because this is not the first time that there's been a lack of consultation prior to a motion coming to Council. And that is genuinely not pointing the finger at anyone, because I think that it's happened a few times. But the Mayor is always available to discuss motions beforehand, I mean, if I'm given enough notice. And what I do, I don't take sides, actually, in formulating motions. I help councillors implement or articulate what they want to do. I don't judge it, even if I disagree with it. So I am always available to help with tailoring an appropriate motion for consideration, and however it goes, it goes. Members can also take advantage of speaking to the appropriate manager. That would have been valuable in relation to these reserves. Members can also speak to the governance manager about motions procedure. Not everyone wants to speak to the Mayor, surprisingly. So there are staff you can speak to about the process and procedure. But there should be a bit more of preliminary discussion and preparation about these procedural aspects, rather than coming up on the night with a motion out of the blue. You can have unforeseen consequences. Councillor Hull, you're right. I'll put the motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried by majority, I think that was. Very well. I'm going to leave now and ask the Deputy Mayor to take the chair for the rest of the meeting. Hope you haven't got far to go.
I think it was unanimous, that last motion.
Oh, there was no one? Yep, okay, unanimous. Let that be recorded. Before I go, I'd like to say a farewell to Ms. Cluderham. I know that we've tussled over various issues, but Ms. Cluderham, your expertise in the area and your imagination and drive is beyond question, and you've shown a lot of leadership capacity in the role that you've played out here in Marion. Ms. Cluderham is going to another position. This will be her last General Council meeting, and we sincerely wish you well. And we might see you back here one day.
Okay, members left, we've now got to code of conduct. Can I have someone that's willing to move the meeting into confidence? Councillor Valescu, putting that forward, and Councillor Gard seconding. All those in favour? That's unanimous, thank you. Can I just have that vote again, please? All those in favour of the confidential order? That's a majority.